Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, stream our show at nprnews.org/listen live every weekday at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Now to what women's work looks like in 2020. In the midst of a tumultuous debate about masculinity, photographer Chris Chrisman went out to document the joys and challenges that await his young daughter as she comes of age. Chrisman writes in the author's note of his new book, "I have aimed to surround an audience with the most valuable resource from my own childhood, women who imprinted confidence, freedom, and drive onto my own life." Chris Chrisman's new book is titled Women's Work, Stories from Pioneering Women Shaping Our Workforce. He joins us today from Philly. Chris, welcome. What a beautiful book of photographs. I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Carrie, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
You know, what's occurred to me in opening your book is, and I just had a conversation about this with our memoirist, that we're going through a very public wrestling with masculinity, and you're photographing and examining how these women are quietly upending traditional male roles in our working lives. So how did you think about that as you set out to take some of these beautiful photographs?
Yeah, you know, this project's been quite an experience for me. I started in 2016 with the intention to make this into a bigger project, and then with the hopes of a book. And I really it was all about curiosity for me. You know, this book has been so much about sharing women's voices. It's a 257-page book, but I only write on 4 pages. So, you know, the voices there are really, I've learned so much, you know, with my daughter, who's now 5, really wanting to just have some special impact for her. Once my wife and I had our daughter, and really both of our children, my son Calvin as well, you just start to see the world differently, and some of these things matter more, and you start to see the future, and want to share as much as I can from the tools and the perspective and vision that I have.
I don't think you're going to be surprised to hear that I was drawn to that wonderful photograph of Kalia Broswell. She's the founder of InTech Camp for Girls. Mm-hmm. There is this this confident determination in her expression, even though I'm sure she knows better than many of us what it's like to be a woman in tech with a lot of the challenges that brings along with it. I want to know, you photographed that in an unusual way. I want to know how you set up the photograph and then what you said to Kalia as you were preparing to shoot her portrait.
You know, that image, which I love, let me step back. Myself as a photographer, I've been a project photographer, I've been a commercial photographer, I've been an editorial photographer, and really now it's just exclusively projects like this and advertising work. And a lot of these images kind of run the gamut of response-based pictures, which are more journalistic, like Kalia's, and others that are more concept-based pictures where we're creating the entire story. Some of those are like the stunt women, the money makers. You know, the one with Kalia, it really was her space. It was her design. Wanted to really bring in as much context as possible. When you think about, okay, we're going to photograph an outstanding woman in a computer space. Okay. So your mind goes to, what are these pictures? What are we going to make? And wanted to have something that had a little bit more metaphor as far as that attitude, that confidence, that strength that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I love the word grit, which obviously, if you've seen a little bit, you'll see that Angela Duckworth, who is an inspiration to me.
Oh, yeah.
She's included in the book. And it's just that idea that the kind of go get it, I can make this happen, belief in self. There's just a little squint in the eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of, it draws you in a beautiful way.
Yeah, but Chris,
in the entirety of the book, that's one of the simpler pictures that we created.
Yeah, but I want to say one of the simpler ones, because I don't know what that space looked like where you're going to shoot Kalia, but you chose to have her stand behind kind of an ornate grill, for lack of a better mm-hmm. word, and it imprints this shadow on her face that almost looks, I don't know how to describe it, almost looks like it blends with the kind of confidence you can see in her expression. I would love to get your permission to reproduce that on our page, because I would love to have
Absolutely.
People see that. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, good.
I love how deep you're getting into that picture. I think the shadow in particular was brought into the design. It was a decal on the window of her space, and it is referential to a motherboard on a computer.
Okay. So for our listeners here, you'll be able to see that photo on our page, and hopefully by this afternoon. How did you get to know the women that you were going to be photographing? I mean, I know some professional photographers, they don't want to ruin the spontaneity by having long conversations. They just want to let the magic unfold. Do you learn a lot about the women that you were shooting the portraits of? How did you approach it?
It's case specific. Some of the images were, you know, we traveled thousands of miles to spend a day with someone. Others were some legacy work from assignments for magazines in my past, Pat Summitt being an example of this.
Right.
Some of the encounters were brief, and some of them were really, really special. I'll say I think it's worth speaking to the portrait of Heather Merrill Thomason. She was the first person I worked with for this book, and that was one where we really took our time with it. We scouted the location, made a plan with Heather, and spent really a whole day building building the space from a meat locker. and really, the inspiration that came from that was really a beautiful snowball. Conversations with her, we made connections to Nancy Poley, who's our pig farmer. That was, started another one, and we have a nice documentary from that project that's online and LinkedIn. They're all amazing experiences. But this all began with curiosity. There was a chance encounter with a friend, Emily Heller is the name. She was a art producer in New York. We were sitting down for lunch. She was telling me about her friend who had moved to Philadelphia to get out of web design and get into being a butcher. And immediately, when I think about a butcher, when you think about these archetypal roles, what had been burned in my brain up to that point was kind of a robust mustachio man standing outside of a butcher shop, and so it was immediately like, wow, a female butcher, that's incredible, and I want to see that, and I want to be able to project that. So
I love that. So I am really eager to talk about how you set the setting up for the photograph of your mother. She's a dog groomer, Karen Chrisman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you're going to think about this, but that photograph to me looks like you put her in a setting that looks like one of those 18th century paintings that you would see in a museum, even right down to the spotted spaniel. I mean, those are the kinds of dogs you see in those, you know, master's kinds of paintings. So what's the deal? Is this just something I'm bringing to viewing this portrait, or how were you thinking about it?
Well, I love the feedback, I'll say. and that very special place is a garden that I grew up working with my mother and my father in. I speak about it just a pinch in the book about growing up in the country and heating our home with tops of trees, wood-burning stove, and you know, cooking and canning and growing and all those ideas. The image itself, it just always, that always felt right. I remember getting up or being woken up earlier than I may have liked to as a child. And, you know, the weekends, there was a whole lot of picking rocks out of the garden and cutting, splitting the wood and driving a tractor at 8 years old and those kind of ideas. And really the garden space was just kind of symbolized a lot for me and my relationship with my mother.
But I mean, Chris, the way, I mean, there's a misty kind of nostalgia to the way this photograph looks. I mean, the way the light, she almost has a halo around her hair because this light is, you know, there's kind of this foggy light that's coming behind her. I just loved this paint, or this, see, it looks like a painting, this portrait. Yeah. And I just thought, what happened in that? You know, it's something to be raised by a parent that you know intimately and then decide that you want to take a photograph that you're going to share with the world and that we will in some way access what you know about that parent. You know, that's a different thing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and to speak just a pinch more about the mistiness and the mood, and I in my work, I feel like there's always a dance between the space or place and the person. And when it is a portrait, I like that light to be shown. Mm-hmm. You know, I think adding, you know, the space and the place and the things and the other ideas in the picture just adds so much context to really a bigger story. And as, you know, really my vision of sharing these stories, that's really inherent to my visual style. That, again, that kind of play between the hero of the picture, mm-hmm. and the space itself. The first 3 years of learning photography and shooting, I did not photograph any people. It was all landscape. It was there,
really?
Frankly, like coming home. And somewhere around the third or fourth year, felt, had a lot of influences that said I would never have a career in just taking pictures of the forest. So transitioned into portrait photography near the end of school or end of university for me. And but just had never lost that, you know, that love for outdoors, a love of nature, growing up in the woods with not any very close neighbors. That was my other best friend.
This makes sense now that you've explained that, and I read that in your author's note, that you led somewhat of a solitary childhood that you loved, right? Being outdoors. You clearly bring that into your work. Maybe this asked you to think about that more than you usually did in your work. Yeah?
I think so. You know, I've spent a lot of time over the last 2 years diving deep on kind of searching for identity as a photographer. Kate Chase in our industry has really specifically helped me with that, and we've come back to that pretty significantly about the joy that comes from being outside and capturing, and then that mix of the human imprint therein. I tend to lean in kind of all walks of life. Tend to lean where my curiosity is pulling.
That's nice.
So. In pictures, you can see it through the book. I mean, there are, I can't get away from telling the story of this base. This is all about women, their identity in the workforce, and really their you know, breaking down any wall that might be there. You know, I've heard and spoke to a few people about this, you know, the possible perspective of why as a man bringing a book to market and about women, and really it's quite the opposite there. You know, I'm standing up for women, and I've never seen it another way.
Chris,
you know, it talks about the relationship with my mother. I worked with my mother since, you know, as a child. That's important to us.
Chris, I appreciate the conversation this morning and the photographs. Thank you much.
Hey, Carrie, thank you so much. Have a great day.
The book is called Women's Work, Stories from Pioneering Women Shaping Our Workforce. You'll see 5 photographs on the website.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. If you'd like to hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks for listening.